Please indulge me for just a moment, because this is the first time in my life that I have been introduced by a goddess. It doesn't get any better than that. Have you ever heard a boring presentation? Ever given one? I have. In fact, the reason I'm here today is because back in 1994, I was a certified financial planner. And I was voluntold one day, you're going to start giving workshops to attract new clients. So I did. Despite the fact that when I was 6 years old, I had such a humiliating experience that I never wanted to stand in front of a group again. But I went out and I gave the retirement planning workshops. It was in October of 1994 that I was sitting in my boss's office, and he handed me a stack of papers, and he said, "These are the evaluations from your last couple workshops. You should read this. This is good material." An ominous sign. So I start reading through. Wow, that was a lot of information. Does this guy ever take a breath? Too much, too fast, too soon. Feels like I've been hit by a fire hose. It was page after page after page, and each one got progressively more painful. And I finally stopped and I said, "Joe, is there anything good in here?" He said, "Yeah, there's one. Look at the back. I marked it." I said, "Great. There's something good in there." And there it was. "Mike has nice hair." "That's it?" "Yeah, that's it." He said, "Michael, I'm going to cut to the chase with you. You're a lousy speaker. Your stories suck. You got 90 days to turn this around or else you're out." Very touchy-feely guy. So I did what anybody would do in that situation. I mean, what would you do if you were just told you're lousy and get this turned around? What would you do? I did what anybody would do. I went home and I pouted for 2 days. And then a friend of mine called me up and said, "All right, are you done? We got this turned around." So this is pre-internet, made a lot of phone calls, and somebody turned me on to a group called Toastmasters. If you don't know what Toastmasters is, it's an international organization that helps people become better speakers. And that ultimately led me to the National Speakers Association. And it started a 29-year journey that led for us to be together today. As soon as I joined Toastmasters, I picked up three important insights about presentations. Number one is that we've all had a bad experience in front of a group. Mine was in first grade in Mrs. Norris' class when she humiliated me in front of my class, and that stayed with me for 25 years. The second is public speaking, presentations is a learnable skill. Who knew? Back then, I thought you were born with that skill or you weren't. And number three, this was the most important, is that fear of public speaking is real, but it is not our number one fear. Forget all those lists you've read, researchers have found. That isn't the number one fear. The number one fear is public humiliation. Because for our earliest ancestors, public humiliation often meant you got ostracized from the group, which meant what? Some saber-toothed tiger would probably eat you later that day, right? So you did not want to get ostracized. So if that fear is so real and deep in us, it's critical. Now, another top fear is walking into a room full of strangers. So what is public speaking? It is the potential to be humiliated in front of a room full of strangers, and that's why we're so afraid of it. You're not afraid of speaking in public because I saw all of you do it out in the hallway earlier. Unless you just came in from a rough night last night and the coffee needs to get you going. You were talking to somebody, right? So that's the issue. So what you're going to pick up today are the foundations of presentations that I have picked up on this 29-year journey. Now, keep in mind as we go through this, presentations has a different meaning for everyone. In fact, we're going to circle back to that in just a moment. If you hear me say presentations, it could be sales presentation. It could be presentation in front of a room, could be one of those on the spot, "Hey, could you talk to our team?" It has all kinds of meanings. You're going to hear me say the word audience, all right? In your world, take the word audience and fill in buyers, whoever you're dealing with. So it's just the generic term I use. So raise your hand if you did not get a handout. Oh, that's quite a few. All right, if you could I get somebody to help me pass these around? Thank you very much. Thank you. And there's some extra ones in the back too. One of the most important lessons I learned is that, and I've been around real estate for a few years now, building a presentation is a lot like building a house. You need a foundation, you need supporting points, and you also need a front and back door that invites people in and has them leaving feeling good about what they've just experienced, just like in your house. And we're going to go into some of that today. Also, I hope this makes you feel better. You're not going to listen to me talk for the next 90 minutes. Nobody wants to sit and listen for 90 minutes anymore. This is going to be interactive. Look, you don't have to do anything sitting here. You can just pick up some information. But you will get the most out of this if you pair up with folks. And we'll do that. I promise you, we're not going to be doing hugging and high-fiving and jumping on chairs. We're not doing that. But interaction, sharing ideas on presentations that maybe you have now or you're working on, that will help you get the most out of it. And what will make this really powerful, and I do this in all of my workshops, and if you're brave enough to come to the front of the room with me and do some on-the-spot coaching, you will get more out of this than anybody else. It will also be the scariest thing you do all day. I promise you. Because remember, the fear is, I'm in front of all these strangers, and I could be humiliated. The purpose of coaching is not to humiliate or embarrass you. It is to give you some focus and some feedback on what you're already doing well. So if you have the courage to do that, I'm going to invite you to come to the front of the room with me. I promise it's not going to be to embarrass you. It's going to be to help you get better. By the way, every time I do this, and I'm very careful when I use the word every, but every single time I do this in front of a group, that's what everybody talks about. That's where they get the most. Because I'm going to talk theory to you, but when you see it in practice, that's where the learning comes in. All right. Let's start with the foundation of every good presentation. And this is where I need your help before we can dive into this topic. When I say presentation, what comes to mind for you? And by the way, that's not a rhetorical question. This is audience participation. What do you think when you hear presentation?
PowerPoint.
What else? Brochures. What else?
Handouts.
What else?
Script.
Pitch.
Important points.
Lecture.
Selling an idea.
Do you see the problem?
Statistics.
There are many definitions of presentation. So what you have to do in your mind is determine, in my world, exactly what is a presentation. And this is where we come into the first problem of any presentation, whether it's one-to-one or speaking to a group. It's called the curse of knowledge. You have it, and I have it, and everybody has it. The curse of knowledge is, I know my topic so well that when I communicate with others, I assume they know it too. So I start using language and references. And how often do you like to raise your hand and tell people, I don't really know what you're talking about, but I'm going to risk looking dumb. We just sit there and we nod, we say, and nothing happens. So your first tip on your foundation of any presentation is think like your audience. You've got to ask yourself, what is their point of reference? Where are they coming from? And am I using terminology or references that they have no clue about? One of the hardest tasks that I give any speaker I work with is you've got to act like you don't know what you know. Pretty hard to do, right? But it's vital to talk in their language. So that's why, you know, sometimes when I do a presentation, like for Rhea, I know there are so many backgrounds in this room, I could not walk in assuming, okay, you're primarily a salesperson, you're primarily a buyer, you're a lender, you're a mortgage broker. I can't make that assumption. You all come in with different backgrounds. So think about what is it in my world that could be confusing to the other person. which leads to our foundation. When you are crafting a presentation of any kind, it's important to have a foundational idea, just like you build a foundation when you create build a house. Your foundation is one idea that hopefully a month, a year, 6 years after they hear you speak or you present to them, they will remember what that is. And when they remember the foundational concept of your talk, they will remember the entire purpose. So, for example, this talk today is sell more with a compelling presentation. Now, let's break that down for you to understand what that is. Sell more. Is that a benefit to you? Make sure your foundational concept is worded as a benefit to the person you're talking to. Again, it doesn't matter if it's one-on-one or for an entire group like you today. What will your listener get from your presentation? Vina mentioned this. A lot of times you're going to be called to the front of the room and share an idea. Always be ready. We call it having a pocket speech or a pocket presentation. It only needs to be 60 seconds, 2 minutes, but it has to start with that foundational idea. So raise your hand if right now you have, and I'm not going to ask you to share it, by the way, at least not in front of the room, if you have some kind of presentation that you give on a pretty consistent basis. All right, here's what you're going to do. I want you to write down on your notes a foundational concept that you have for your presentation. What's the main idea you're trying to get across? Now, what we want, and by the way, this is not start judging the quality of my foundation. That's not what this exercise is about. Version one is the first version. Whenever we start with version one, and we call that the messy phase. One of the most important lessons my first coach taught me is that a message is a mess with age. So we have to start with to get something out of your head and onto paper. So that's going to be your first step today. And even if you don't have one that you're currently doing, maybe it's something you're thinking about, just go through this exercise and write down an idea. What is a point you want to get across to a listener? And it has to be a benefit to them and involve some kind of action they can take to get that benefit. So again, back to the title of this program, sell more with a compelling presentation. Sell more is your benefit. Compelling presentation is the action that they can take. So what I want you to do is going to take 60 seconds, write down an idea, and then you're going to turn to a neighbor, and you're each going to share your idea. Take another minute to do that. For those of you that just walked in, the class just got in trouble, and I'm making them sit silently for a whole minute and think about the error of their ways. All right, now here's where it gets fun and loud. Turn to a partner and take about 30 seconds each. Just share your foundational idea. What I want you to listen for when you're listening to your partner is, do I know what the benefit to me is, and am I clear on what the action is? Again, this is not a part where you're going to criticize, critique, or embarrass. Just, this is a starting point. So go ahead and turn to a neighbor and ask that question. All right. Let's come back together. I love the energy in the conversation. Let's come back together. All right, by the way, I recently learned a technique from another speaker. It's called the power clap. So from now on, when we have an exercise, I'm going to ask you power clap. It's going to be one, two, three, clap once. Ready? One, two, three. All right. Here's what I'd like to know. Raise your hand if you heard a compelling foundational idea. Right here. My Pittsburgh bar guy. What's that? Inzer. Okay. Gotcha. It's a Pittsburgh thing. No. All right. What was your phrase that you heard?
What did I hear?
Yeah.
I heard I could have safe, secure, long-term cash flow by investing in single-family houses.
Safe, secure cash flow by investing in single-family houses. I like it. It's a good start.
Sold.
Now, you could take the last part of that off to shorten it. If you're in like a networking situation, what do you provide? Safe, secure income or safe, secure retirement. Always, always, always when you meet people, do not tell them what you do. Can you tell me why we don't want to tell people what they do? What we do.
You want them to ask.
You want them to ask. What else?
They have a preconceived perception of what we do.
They have a preconceived, but say you've met them for the first time. They don't even know. So we tell them, okay, here's the real reason. We don't want to tell people what we do when we first meet them. They don't care. Let's be real. Do they really care the title and everything you do? Here's what people want to know. What is the benefit you provide? I see this all the time with speakers and salespeople and networking events. And it's only because of my training. Because I used to do the same thing. By the way, anything that you maybe take, I'm criticizing in speeches or speakers. I used to do all of them myself. It took me a long time to figure this out. But people don't care. They're so busy today. By the way, how long does it take us to get distracted now? I can go from a study from TikTok. They said the average TikTok viewer will give a video 2.5 seconds before they decide yes or no. Swipe right, swipe left. Oh, that's a dating thing. I get it. But they're quickly moving on. So when we start our presentations, and I'm going to go back to my old world for a second. Hi, I'm Michael. I'm a financial planner. I work with insurance and blah, 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 blah. That's what they hear. That fast. So our challenge with our foundational idea, which can also become our networking introduction, we've got to give them something compelling that says, hey, that sounds like a benefit I or someone I know would like. Can we talk further? By the way, this is one person's opinion. I do not believe we have an attention problem in this country. That is a common belief, I know, but I don't think it's a attention problem, and here's why. I've seen, there is evidence all around me. Kids playing video games. Do they have an attention problem? Not while they're playing the game. All right, let's forget kids for a moment. Have you ever binge-watched your favorite program? You pass up food, going to the bathroom, and sleep to watch that show because I got to see what happens next, right? We don't have an attention problem. What we have is a material and delivery problem. It's on us to get their attention with something compelling. That's a hard truth, and it's one I had to learn. It took me over a decade to figure this out. It's like, oh my gosh. My boss was right, by the way, in 1994. I was a lousy speaker, and my stories did suck. And it took me a long time to figure it out. But that was the most important part, the foundation. Now, once you've got your foundational idea, and what you want to then figure out is, when I'm done giving this presentation, whether it's 30 seconds, 5 minutes, or an hour, what do I want my audience to think, feel, or do?
Act. Act on.
Well, that's a question you want to ask yourself is, what do I want? That's great. I want them to act. Typically, because we're with real estate, yeah, I want them to do something. Like, I'll give you an action at the end of this presentation. I know one thing I want you to do when we're done today. If you want to know what that is, you got to stick around. That's like my movie teaser. But that's it. Ask yourself, think, feel, or do differently. And it could be something as simple as, I want to have a phone call with you. Let's have a one-to-one meeting. Buy this property, whatever it is. Here's what you don't want to do, is give them 3, 5, 7 things to do. Because a confused mind will say no every single time. Confused mind says no, a clear mind says go. Make it easy for them to take the next step. And this is why we do these individual breakouts in these meetings, is to help get clarity. By the way, let's go back to those foundational phrases. I want to hear another one that somebody heard that was good, that stuck out. Yes?
You said something about carry back financing for sellers.
Carry back financing for sellers. Will your audience know what that means every time? It's okay to say no. What is the benefit of carryback financing?
You earn more money.
That's what I want to hear. And again, I see this all the time. We all do it. We're so caught up in our own world. We know carryback financing, it works so well. But as a person who's not in that world, if you're trying to help them, they're going to say, I don't know what that means. And our 2.5 seconds is running out fast. So earn more money and then tell me all about it. Make sense? I'm guessing a lot of you heard something like that. So dig deeper in your own topic and say, what does that mean to the listener? Remember, curse of knowledge, I know it, they may not. Always assume your audience doesn't know. I'm not saying always assume your audience is dumb. That's not what I said. Always assume they're not sophisticated in your world because you're an expert. The problem with being an expert is you know it so well, you forget the rest of the world doesn't. And they need you. Right? How many people have you helped with carryback who had no idea what it was? But don't become a hindrance to your own message right up front. Now, once you've got that foundational concept in place, we need to start to build the support points. Now, this is really going to depend on how long you have to your presentation is. So in this handout, you're going to see up to 3 subpoints. Now, you give 3 subpoints in a presentation if you've got a half hour or more. Anything less than that, there's a rule that we use called the 10-to-1 rule. You never want to give more than 1 supporting point to your foundational idea in 10 minutes. Because what happens is, and I'm sure you've seen presenters who do this, hey, look, I've got 90 minutes, and I've been in my industry for 30 years, so I'm going to teach you 30 years worth of ideas in 90 minutes. And you walk out feeling how?
Confused.
What does a confused mind do? Nothing. You could be the smartest person in the room, but if you make it confusing for them, it's not going to help them. So do not overwhelm people with ideas. I could have brought a lot more information about presenting in here today, and you would walk out with your head spinning. I want you to start with a foundational concept. That's why I use the image of a house, because it plays perfectly into your world. Foundational concept. Then subpoints. What are my subpoints going to be? So as an example, we're talking about high-impact, compelling presentations today. First subpoint, foundational idea. Second subpoint, subpoints. What should a subpoint be? Typically, I like one of 3 ways of a sub. One is a story. We're not going to get into stories today. Vina, that may be an idea for next year for storytelling, because that is the key to all presentations. The challenge I'm seeing, it's become such a popular topic. People are telling stories today that are quite forgettable. They're self-indulgent, and they don't have a purpose to the listener. So a subpoint can be a story. It can also be an activity. What happens when you get your audience involved? What's that?
Complete silence.
That's okay. You get engaged. That's it. And now it no longer is just about you, the presenter. It's about everyone in the room who's participating, right? They're thinking, they're taking what you're teaching them and putting it into action. Hopefully you already think a little differently about a foundational idea now. Now notice we didn't go super deep. We don't have time today, but that's okay. It's a starting point for you. So you can tell a story to support as your subpoint. It can be an activity. You can also use analogies or metaphors. This is an analogy. Your speech is like a house. Make your concept visual for your audience, because what you do is so vital. It's also very complex if we're not careful. And people walk away thinking, well, I don't really understand it. And let me step back. You've had a deal, right? It was perfect for the other person. Everything lined up, and they said no. And what happened? What were you thinking when that occurred? What a fool. What's wrong with them? They're so dumb. Guess what? It wasn't that. There was a communication breakdown. They didn't quite get it. So when you can create metaphors that makes a vague concept concrete, makes all the difference in the world. When I was a financial advisor, you remember the year 2007, right? What a fun time, especially in real estate. Well, we were getting phone calls day after day when the stock market was doing this. So our team got together and said, how are we going to help people understand that the worst thing they can do right now is sell? So we came up with this analogy. We said, imagine that you are on a plane flying to your favorite vacation destination. Got one in mind? Throw one out at me. Hawaii, Costa Rica. We'll go with Costa Rica. You're on your way to Costa Rica. You're 35,000 feet in the air, just a few puffy clouds below, sun's above you. How are you feeling? Pretty good, right? Now imagine, no warning, your plane takes a 45-degree nosedive for 10,000 feet for the next 60 seconds. What are you feeling now? What was it? I should not have flown United. Absolutely, Robert. Should not. I'm hearing anxious. No, you would be terrified, right? I'm about to die. And we would tell our clients, that's emotionally how you're feeling right now about the stock market when you get a statement that says your account's down 30, 40, 50%, right? And I'm like, uh-huh. We get it. Now, let me ask you this. Would it be a really good strategy right now on that plane to unbuckle your seatbelt, run for the door, and leap out of that plane trying to catch another one midair? Absolutely not. Be the dumbest thing you could do. Be fatal. And we said, emotionally, we get where it is. Here's what we know about stock, and this could translate to real estate. The plane has never crashed. This is not the worst dip we've taken on a plane ride before. The plane has never crashed. It will level out. We don't know when. We can't tell you that. But when it does, it always climbs back to an even higher level. You just got to stay with us. We'll get the drinks. We'll sit and get drunk with you. But we're going to get through this. It's happened every 10 to 20 years. Not as often in real estate, but we now know it can happen, right? No matter what the situation is. And by the way, if that analogy will help you with your clients, by all means use it. I haven't trademarked it. We use that, and in the following 3 months, we use that metaphor. I only had one client who took all of her money out of her account. That'd be my mom. Mother, what are you doing? You're killing my inheritance. But that was it. She was the only one. So metaphors can help people make especially scary situations more concrete, and it will also help them stop making bad decisions for themselves. Doesn't mean it's any less scary. And the key was we acknowledged to them, hey, we get it. We're with you. We're in these same investments. But when they saw that we got it and they could put a concrete picture on it, now they felt much better about their advice, not about their statements, right? The value, whether it's property or stocks, were down. They didn't feel good about that, but they felt like they were understood and that we were there with them. When you can do that, your presentation can start to take on a whole new level of connection with others. Is this helpful so far? Good. All right, now let's talk about the most important parts of your presentation, which is the opening. How many seconds do we have to get people's attention?
2.5
Please never forget that. How does the typical person open a presentation? What are the words they use? Hi, my name is... Oh my gosh, it's so chilly this morning. For our Pittsburgh contingent in the room, hey, those Steelers last night, they sure pulled out a good one. As a Bengal fan, I have nothing to say about that, but congratulations. Anyway, all right, 2.5 seconds. Thank you. Great to be here. Guess what? I'm using all my good capital with you, and I don't even know it, because here's what I think happens with audiences. I've studied them for 20 years now. They do not sit there and consciously think, oh, I've heard this before. No, what they think is subconsciously heard it before, which means they start listening to another voice, and that is the voice of the greatest enemy we have as presenters. This is your greatest enemy. It is the crack of the 21st century. I'm not exaggerating, right? Because if you're sitting there saying, thank you, great to be here, they're feeling ping, tweet. Oh, Taylor and Travis are moving in the same house together. This is so great. What was he saying? Am I exaggerating? Not really. This is our competition. We have to be so compelling from the first words. In fact, it's the introduction is where it starts. I said before that when we meet people and we tell them, I'm a fill in the blank and I do this and I do that, they don't care. This is never more evident than a lot of the introductions I hear for speakers. You get a laundry list of all their great accomplishments, which is okay. But if you lead with that, they're already starting to think, don't care, what's in it for me? I got up this morning, I got coffee in me, I could have been in 4 other rooms today, what are you going to give me? And the longer your introduction and your opening does not start to address them, the more quickly they're out. Now, they may not physically be out, but mentally they're gone. Now, if it sounds like I'm lecturing, it's because I want you to avoid the problem I consistently see that's costing people opportunity after opportunity. We don't grab them in the beginning, we lost them. So how do we open? In a non-boring, non-traditional way, there are 4 ways. Your opening words are absolutely critical, and there are 3 or 4 ways to do that. One is to open with a story. That's my favorite. Second is with a question that orients your listener to your topic. Third is a startling statistic or unusual, little-known fact about your topic. Now, there is a 4th. The opportunity doesn't always present itself. I did it today. It's when a goddess introduces you. You can mention. Now, what I mean by that, actually, something could be, and I saw your hand go up. I'll get you in a moment. Something will happen at the event that you can call back to that lets people know you're paying attention to what's going on in the room. So, I'm sorry. I saw a hand up here earlier. Okay. What your opening words have to do is orient people to what's coming. My opening story was about being in my boss's office back in 1994 and being told, you're a lousy speaker. And how I went on this 29-year journey to not be a lousy speaker, which is what this whole presentation is about. So opening words. Question. So when I'm doing it, I could have opened this like 3 or 4 other ways. I could have started with, did you know that you can increase your value in the marketplace by at least 50% by mastering one skill? Presentations. That's not me that said that. That was Warren Buffett, the greatest investor of all time. All right. That's one way to do it. Startling statement. You already heard this one, but I'll repeat it. I can open up with public speaking is not your number one fear. Because most people think it is. They sit up and say, well, what is? Creates curiosity. What we want from start to finish is to keep creating curiosity in our listener so they'll keep listening. The TikTok study that I referenced, the 2.5 seconds, well, here's what they found is you have 2.5 seconds to keep them watching the video, and then you need to keep their attention in the next 2.5 seconds. It is a series of 2.5 seconds all the way through the presentation. And that's why it's so critical that you don't get bogged down in details and information they don't want. So now here's what we're going to do. You're going to write down, and I want you to be brutally honest on your paper. Write down how you typically start your presentation. Take about a minute, and then I'm going to have you share with, you can use the same partner, different partner, it's up to you. But I want to hear how you open. What are the first words you say whenever you give a presentation of any kind? Right up front. Good to see you. We're doing a quick exercise. Whenever you give a presentation, what are the first words you say? And it doesn't matter what kind of presentation it is. And I'll have you guys share that in a minute. Okay. Standing in front of a group, sometimes you get pulled in front of a room, whatever, okay. Whatever it is you say.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right, let's come back together. Power clap. 1, 2, 3. All right. Raise your hand if you heard a compelling opening. Yes, sir.
Partnerships and how they impact your work.
Partnerships and how they impact your work. Okay, what else? What else did you hear? How can I help you? Okay. The hardest part of doing a rehab, okay? Why should you even listen to me today? Are each of those compelling?
Yep.
Yeah. It creates some curiosity. I love the one. Why should you even listen to me today? It's like, because what are they expecting? Here, what are people expecting, especially in a one-on-one?
What?
Listen to what I'm saying. Have you heard about me? I'm pretty great. That's what they're expecting you to do, right? Let me tell you just how great I am. I'm astounded by what I've done. That's what they're expecting. When you come in with a question, a comment, a startling statement, they're going to take notice. They're not going to start thinking about their phones. Now, I am curious. Raise your hand if you often, or not, sometimes, often, how it doesn't matter how often, that you have to stand in front of a group of any size and give a presentation. So it's a few of you. All right. Well, about half the room. Good. As Vina said, be ready. If you didn't raise your hand, someday you will be. The better you get at what you do, you'll be asked. So what I'm going to do now is bring at least one person to the front of the rooms for some coaching. Mark, are you ready? And I will get to you next, sir. Mark was my first volunteer last night, so let's bring Mark to the front of the room. Is this on? Is this on? Can you hear? Okay. All right. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, sir.
Can you hear him?
Yeah.
No, it's not. We'll get that on.
There we go.
There we go. Thank you. All right, Mark, real quick, tell us what type of audiences you speak to.
I speak to people who are aspiring to look into residential assisted living.
Okay, that is your specialty.
Yes.
Yeah. Mark owns assisted living homes. All right, what type of situation are you usually brought in to? Small groups, large groups?
80 to 120 people.
Okay.
All there seeking education on the subject.
Okay, so they want education. So what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you do your opening. Now, the way I do this coaching, I might stop him in 2 seconds. I might stop him in 2 minutes. Mark and I are friends, so chances are pretty good. I'm going to
So he's going to beat me up.
I'm going to stop him quick. Now, look, again, the point of this is not to embarrass Mark. First of all, whenever I coach somebody, the first thing I tell you is, what did you do well? This is what I noticed. It's a human tendency. Whenever we give a presentation and we're done, what's the first thing that we do? Oh, my gosh, do we beat up on ourselves. I wouldn't let anybody beat up verbally on my child, my partner, the way I beat up on myself or used to. But, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I did that. I said that was so stupid. I forgot this. I forgot. And we go down this road, and here's the thing. The audience didn't know your script. Only you knew it. They didn't know what they didn't hear. So here's a tip for you. Any presentation, sales presentation, group, doesn't matter. Ask yourself this question first when you're done. What did I do well? What did I do well? And that's not just to be a touchy-feely kind of situation. It is to diffuse that negative energy that wants to come to the forefront. And by the way, you need to ask yourself that question so you'll keep doing that thing you did well or whatever they are. And I don't care if it's, I didn't throw up. That's a start. It doesn't matter. I didn't get sick. Ask yourself that question. Then ask, what can I do better next time? And I don't care how long your list is. Let's say it's 10. Do not try to change 10 things for your next presentation. It's not going to happen. Remember, confused mind. Pick one and say, the next time I'm going to do that thing better. And then when you feel like you've gotten that one conquered, go to the list and keep. But don't try to change it all at once. With that said, Mark, let's give Mark a quick power clap introduction. 1, 2, 3.
Good morning. How are we doing this morning? I am so excited to be here this morning to be able to share with you something that my wife, Janet, and I are so very passionate about. You guys ready to hear a little bit of that? He hasn't stopped me. That's cool. So we do residential assisted living. What the heck is that? That is taking care of elder people who need assistance with ADLs, activities of daily living, usually two or more, in a single family home, not a big box. We really love this model because we get to care for people better than any big box, any multi-million dollar big box ever could.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. Is Mark a likable guy?
Yes.
Yes, that's one of the reasons I asked Mark to come to the front of the room. I'm not saying don't be polite to your audience. What I'm saying is start with something different. Save the good morning for 30 seconds in if you have to. What is a huge benefit? You started to touch on it when I stopped you. What's a huge benefit you and Janet get from creating these assisted living facilities?
So the biggest benefit that Janet and I get, even though these cash flow like amazing champions, is we get the love of the residents and the residents' families. And it's worth way, way more than any big paycheck. And trust me, we're getting very big paychecks. But it pales in comparison to, you know, you guys are rental property owners, right? You get rent checks from your tenants, from your residents, right? I do too, from our rental properties. Never once have I gotten a rent check that says, Here's $6,500 for a month's rent for mom. Thank you for loving my mom. I get that over and over.
Is that compelling?
Yes.
I'm going to suggest, Mark, that you first, you've been introduced. By the way, when we're introduced, typically somebody reads an introduction. Do you notice after Vina introduced me today, I didn't say, "Hi, I'm Michael Davis." She just told you. You don't need to hear my name again. We know. I see this all the time. It's not a bad mistake, but it's that 2.5 seconds we got to grab them. I would suggest something like this. Can you think of a specific time? And you gave a pretty good example there. I opened the envelope, and there was the check for $6,500 and the note. Try opening it with those words and then saying, "This is why you love," and then go into your good morning and see. And I want you to see if there's a different effect. So let's do a reintroduction. And I know it's not going to be smooth because I just threw this at you. I get it. It's not about perfection. By the way, write this down. It's never about perfection. It's about connection. I hear people all the time, "I'm going to perfect my speech." Don't perfect your speech because your audience is not perfect. They don't want you to be perfect either. They want you to be real. So try that again. Let's give Mark a power clap. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Have you ever opened your renter's rent check and had it wrapped in a love letter that says, "Thank you for taking care of me"?
Stop! That's even better than the one you just worked on. I heard chills. Does he have your attention?
Yes.
Are you more likely to listen to what he said next? Now, I want you to do that again and then follow up with however you want to open up.
Rental owners, have you ever opened up your a check from one of your residents and had it wrapped in a love letter, said, "Thank you for taking care of me"? In residential assisted living, we get that all the time. It's not just one family, it's many families. We are now taking care of almost 20 seniors in 2 homes. We're just expanding into our third. We get to do this all day. And we get to do this and take care of people so well because of one of the cool things is the care ratio. We have so many more caregivers per resident than
any big box. Okay, I'm going to stop you there, Mark. That was really good. Now, are you more likely to say, "Tell me more about this care assistance. I want to know"? Now, you started to get into some of the details.
Yeah, I dove in too quick.
No, that's okay because I just threw a curveball at you. Now, you don't have to do it again, but start with that story every time. Agreed?
Yes.
By the way, crowdsource, not just because some coach told you you should try this. They just told you how you need to open your next presentation.
Agreed.
Then you can do your good morning, great, and all that, and then get into the sub points, which is the details. But was that good? Give him a hand. Thanks, Mark. We can leave it on there. Mark, was that painful in any way? No, he said it wasn't. That's what coaching should be. It should point out, wow, here's what you do well. Here's some suggestions. And by the way, I've been doing this. I got my coaching in 2011. I've been doing this for 20, 30 years of speaking. Just because I say it, I don't want it. It's not the gospel. I'm one person who's happened to be trained by some of the best in the world. I'm going to suggest that you don't take it as gospel, but if you hear something that resonates with you, try it in your next presentation. It may not work for you, but try it out. Speaking, storytelling is an evolutionary process. It never stops. There's never been a perfect speech given, never will be, for reasons I mentioned before. That people don't want perfection. But it should constantly change and evolve because you're going to make little adjustments along the way. You're going to have new experiences, new perspectives. Now, Mark has a brand new opening. Mark, go out and test. I want to hear back from you after you've shared that 2 or 3 times. See what kind of response you get. I'm guessing you're going to get more people want to hear more about doing this. And that was like a 15-second vignette. What made his story powerful? We're going to get into storytelling for just a minute. What made it powerful? Emotion. What did you see in your mind? See the letter? You see the check? What were you focused on more, the letter or the amount of the check? Exactly. And oh, by the way, the check's nice too. It's a nice, but notice how the emotions got tied in. One of the things I've seen with a lot of real estate speakers is they go for the money and they sell the money and the, and I get it. You're not doing this for free. And you, real estate is a terrific way to make money. But underneath the money, what's the real thing? I want the emotion that goes with it. Have you ever tried some types of real estate investing or dealt with certain types of sellers or buyers that you swore, never again? I will never do that again. I don't care how big the paycheck is, right? That's why we got to get under the emotion and the love that Mark and Janet get for what they do, and it's well-earned because of the type of people they are. That's what sells the story on why you should consider this. Same thing with presenting. Not everybody's going to present like me. Take your style, take these ideas, and work with them. So those are your opening words. That pulls people in to what you're going to talk about. And that needs to set up your topic again. After that, you're going to see on here the foundational phrase, which we've talked about. That's the establishing phrase. And Mark, we didn't work on that. But is there a phrase that you use when you're presenting about assisted living properties? Do good and do well? Just play with this phrase. Again, I think you walked in a little bit later, is the phrase talks about the benefit and how we get there. So the benefit is knowing your, we could talk about this later, but just spitballing an idea, knowing your parents are cared and loved, cared for and loved. If you hear that phrase, do you really care what the next part is, as long as it's legal? I want to know, but I'm most concerned about, are my parents cared for? That's what I want to know, and that's what the foundational phrase should encapsulate. All right, big promise. This is what your listener is going to get by listening to you. When we started today, I said, you're going to pick up the tools that will help you sell more with a compelling presentation. That's it. Big promise. Specifically what you're going to get. Tools. And the reason I use the word tools is I like mental images rather than ideas or concepts. You can picture tools. It also plays well into the real estate analogy, right? So you're going to get the tools that you can use to fill in the blank of the benefit you provide. Then we call it the blueprint. The blueprint has different names, but I say present a blueprint to your audience so they'll know where you're going in the presentation. Earlier in this one, I said you're going to discover how to create a foundation upon which to build your entire structure, which includes subpoints and an opening and a closing door. Now you've got an idea of where we're going along in this presentation. So, audience interaction time again. I want you to write down, take 30 seconds. What is a big promise? Now, you may not have been doing this because you may have just heard this idea for the first time. What is a big promise you can give to the person you're talking to that they know they'll walk away with by the end of your presentation? Take 60 seconds, and then don't even wait for me. Just turn to your partner and share it when you're done. Again, big promise. What's the benefit I'm going to get as the listener? All right, let's come back together. Power clap on three. One, two, three. All right. Raise your hand if you heard a compelling big promise. Yes, ma'am, back here.
You will feel secure.
You will feel secure. Pretty good. Now, that's not the point where you get into the how-to, because when you hear that phrase, you will feel secure, what's the next question in your mind?
How do I get that security?
Which means what? You're going to lean in and listen. That's what we want. Create curiosity. What's another one? Lady in the white shirt.
You will accomplish more of your goals.
You will accomplish more of your goals. It's a start. I would like to hear one more thing. If pot in less time. Pardon? Now the big promise, yeah, that's true. Well, if you're speaking to someone, you're assuming in the conversation they've said something about wanting to achieve something. Yeah, you will accomplish your goals in less time. Give me something that will help make that more compelling to say, oh, I want that. Yes, I heard, I saw a hand over here. You accomplish your goals with perseverance. I'm going to say leave the perseverance out until later. We don't want to get into the how-to yet. I want the specific goal. And if I'm talking to someone and goals have come up, I'm going to tie what they've said to me into that. So I won't use a generic term like goals. I might say, you said you want to accumulate 5 houses in 10 years. I'm going to show you how to get 5 in 6 years. Whatever. The more specific you can be, the better. Yes. Dreams come true. My only challenge with it is I've heard something like that so much. I want specificity. Make sense? You'll accomplish twice as much in half the time. Is that specific? Yeah, I like that, because now I'm picturing, because what we don't want to do is push our audience out of their own story. And what I mean by that is they know what they want to accomplish. And if we start saying, you're going to do that twice as fast or you do twice as much in less time, they're doing the mental calculations. You don't have to do it for them. Yes. You'll know the solution that works best for you. I'm going to crowdsource that one, okay? I think I know where you're going, but I'm not quite clear. What do you think of when you hear that?
Still got a problem to figure out. Still have a problem to figure out.
I still have a problem to figure out. What I want is more specificity on... Say it again. Yeah, I think that's the problem I'm having. Solution to what? You'll overcome your challenge. You'll be clear about how to overcome your challenge. Something along those lines. The solution I'm just stuck on because I'm not sure what the problem is. What's the line before? Why is this house a problem for you? So you're having a dialogue with them. And your next line then is, say it again. I'm sorry. Why is this house, he's establishing why the house is a problem.
Trying to get to the seller's pain point.
Yeah.
Find out their why. Yeah, and a lot of times they're going to tell you, just repeat their words back to them. You don't even have to have a phrase. What would be an answer you might get to that question? Why is this a problem for you? Why is selling this house a problem for you? I think that was your first question, right?
Yeah, well, I asked, why do you want to sell?
Okay, why do you want to sell? What's a common answer you get?
I get all my money.
Okay, my parents' house I inherited, it's full of crap. I don't want this anymore. Great. Okay, so I want to get rid of this house. I inherited, I don't want it. Great. By the time that we're at the end of this conversation, you're going to have at least three different ideas on how to do that quickly and painlessly. Make sense? Give them speed, give them less pain, and they're listening to you. And again, try these different words out. By the way, one of the greatest inventions of that's been really become popular this year, AI, ChatGPT. Go in. And I heard some groans. I get it. It can be, I'm not going to it as a resource. I'm going at into ChatGPT to help me find different ways to say things I've been saying that aren't connecting. Ask it. Go in. You can teach it your style, by the way. But go in there and say, okay, here are some phrases I'm using. I'm going to solve your problem. I'm going to make this pain-free. And just see what kind of options it gives you. It can be very helpful to help clear your messaging up. Did that help a little? Look, it's an ongoing process. Constantly ask, does my client know exactly what that means? But yours is more of a two or three sentences involved, so I get that. All right, another one, good one you heard. Way in back.
Your future self will thank you.
Your future self will thank you. I like it. And it because it creates curiosity, right? Well, that's what the follow-up question. Thank me for what? And then you're into the conversation. This is all about keeping people interested. What else? One more. Yes, sir.
Earn more money initially, subsequently, and consistently.
Earn more money initially, subsequently, and consistently. I like the rhythm to it. It's a little hard to say. This is a perfect example. Go into ChatGPT and say, give me three different options on how to say this. You may not come up with anything better, but just test it out. I like where you're starting with it. It's just a little bit long, but try it out. If people are responding to it, keep using it. Perfect example why I say, don't take one person's idea. You know, try it out. That's what I'm saying. All right. Yes, one more. Focus on the one thing. Yeah, we've talked about that three or four times today. Yes, and people need to constantly be reminded of that, don't they? All right, so you're going to teach them how to focus on the one thing. That's your big promise. All right. All right, we've talked about the high impact open. This is where you pull people into your world. Now, we've talked about subpoints. Subpoint is going to sell your idea, essentially. So when you are talking, I'd like to use an example from the room. Somebody who has been giving presentations to small groups. Yes. Could you stand, please? What's your name?
Allison.
Allison, let's give Allison a hand. All right. What topic do you talk about, Allison?
Goal setting, accountability, and masterminding.
Okay. What is your overall topic? Those are
three. I love what Anita said. How to get accomplished twice. I already forgot it. How to accomplish more in half the time.
Okay, accomplish more in less
and
time.
And staying focused, right?
Yeah.
So staying focused on what we're going after, because like you stated, 2.5 seconds, we get distracted.
Right. By the way, the back of her shirt says, got focused, ? Would that be a really good foundational concept? Do you think people talk about that after Allison speaks? Yeah.
I hope so.
She's wearing her foundational concept. So your subpoints are to got focused or get focused is?
Exactly. That's the name of my company, Get Focused Accountability.
Gotcha. So what are the three subpoints? You mentioned them earlier.
Accomplish more, less time.
Stay focused. You said three things when you first stood up.
Accountability. Setting goals, accountability, and masterminding. Those are the three kind of sub-points.
Right. Goals, accountability, and mastermind. Those are your three sub-points. So each of the sub-points has to support the idea of get focused.
Thank you so much.
Well, stay with me. You're not out of here
I'm not
yet.
Going anywhere, but I'm like,
You're
not out of here. I got this is worth the price of admission already.
This is where the foundational phrase becomes important. It becomes a filter. If your sub-points do not support your foundational idea, they have to go. They may be your favorite point on earth, but if it confuses the audience, it's got to go. So make sure that goal setting ties in to support this idea of getting focused. Pretty clear, right? If you're going to have goals, it's important to get focused on them. So tell stories, have case studies, whatever, a metaphor of some kind. Accountability. Important part, right? If you have an accountability partner, it's easier to stay focused because what? You don't want to be humiliated by your partner who's going to hold you accountable. By the way, accountability is not a dirty word. A lot of people are like, oh, I hate accountability. Well, you said this is what you wanted. I'm going to hold you accountable. Okay, accountability supports focus. How do you share examples of accountability? Or how do you teach accountability?
Well, I don't necessarily teach about accountability in my presentations. I just bring it up as a topic because it is such a people have a lot of aversion to accountability.
Sure do.
Accountability is one of the benefits they receive by engaging in my services, and that is done through a group setting where you actually have to report out on what you commit to and did you accomplish it.
All right, I'm going to encourage you to start figuring out how you can include accountability in these presentations to tie into focus. It has to support focus. By the way, do real estate people need accountability?
Absolutely.
Yes, we do. We all need accountability. Teach them how to do that in their world. It could be, how many calls are you making today? How many emails you sent? How many mailers have you got going out? All of that.
How many offers have you made?
How many offers have you made, right? Mm-hmm. They can't accept if you don't offer.
Yes.
And then mastermind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mastermind. What do you think of when you hear mastermind? This is for the group. Successful people sharing out. I did not invent this, but you are the five people you spend the most time with. Make sure your mastermind group is ahead of you in some way. Yeah, coaches teaching each other, learning from one another. Mm-hmm. Think about how does that tie into focus? Now, all three of your sub-points will be supported by focus. You just got to work on those examples. Stories, get research. Never bore your audience with numbers, by the way. But it always helps your credibility when you share some research on what masterminding has been proven to do for focus.
I bet ChatGPT can or AI can help me get that information.
Be very careful because a lot of these, they're not resourced well. There are some AIs, and I don't want to get into an AI discussion, but they will help you research and resource. But here's the thing about numbers. Always be specific with your numbers. And Allison, you can sit down. Thank you.
Thank you.
For that. Appreciate that. Give her a hand.
Thanks.
I can say to you that, TikTok did a study, and in a few seconds, people lose their attention. Or I can say to you, TikTok did a study and they showed in 2.5 seconds people are on to the next video. Which one's more credible? Right? Second one, because I've given you specificity. So specificity creates more believability. Get specific with your numbers. It sends a subtle message, subliminal message that, you did the research if you got that detailed. And you did do the research, right? Because you have that number. So be careful with your numbers. Don't overload. And always wrap a story around your numbers because that is what makes the numbers come to life. Gives them heart and soul. All right, let's talk about conclusion. We're in our last 15 minutes here. How do you not conclude a presentation? First of all, do not introduce new information. That will confuse people. I hear this all the time. I hear a speaker give a really good talk, and they get near the end, and this is true in sales presentations too, and all of a sudden they throw something out of left field. It's like, what? My favorite example, this did not happen, but I imagine this happening. If Dr. King in 1963 in front of the Lincoln Memorial had used those beautiful words to end his speech. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty we are free at last. And another thing, we got to do something about the education system in this country. You're going to see 250,000 people saying, huh? What? That was so good. Where are you going now, Dr. King? I hear it all the time. Not speeches of that scale, but I hear it. And people are going off this new direction. It's like, now I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from this. So never introduce new information at the very end. Save that for another talk. You're about to participate in an activity that I highly suggest if you're ever speaking to a group that is one of the most powerful for you to see how your presentation is landing. And if the meeting planner's in the room, it increases the chances you'll get asked back to speak again. It's called Discuss and Debrief. This is where about 85% of the way into your presentation, and you're about to do this, is you ask your audience, I want you to pair up, and I want you to share one idea that you picked up out of this presentation that you're going to implement into your next presentation. I want you to write this, and now you're going to do it. Take 30 seconds, write something down. What's an idea that you got? It's like, I'm going to try that in my next talk. And then share it with a partner. All right, let's come back together. Get ready to do that power clap. Ready, one, two, three. All right, what is one idea that you heard from your partner that they're going to take away from this? In the back. Impactful opening statement. Thank you. What else? Yes, sir.
So we came up with this together, basically tying into Allison's. Basically, since most or whatever it is, how do you plan to implement it? And if you already implement it, how do you plan to improve it?
Okay, how are you going to implement a new idea? How are you going to improve it? Thank you. What else? Yes, sir.
Match our message to the audience's interest.
Message to the audience interest. Do your research ahead of time if you can. If not, ask them when you're in the room early on. Yes, sir.
I completely agree, so I'm going to start the front of the room with how many of you here are crack addicts, and for the rest of you, why don't you put your phones away?
He's going to start with, are you a crack addict? If so, put your phones away. Love it. Yes. The big promise. What's the big promise I'm going to give my audience? What else?
Tie the story, the main point into a story or analogy.
Tie the main point into a story or an analogy. They're powerful. Yes, sir.
Give the emotional connection early.
Show them that you understand what they're about. Yes, ma'am.
Short intro, the benefit to them, and engage.
Short intro to them, and then get them engaged. Yes, sir. Thank you. That was not a plant. That was perfect. This is the last point to make about, well, one of the last points about conclusions. What you just experienced, you should be doing every single time, is discuss and debrief. And here's why you do it. There are three reasons. Number one, it is great on-the-spot research for you to see what landed. As presenters, we think we know what audiences want or what resonates with them. We don't. We have to go ask them. So don't take your whole allotted speaking time with what you have to say and all your brilliance. Save that last 15% to get some feedback. What worked? You just gave me free research. Thank you. There's another reason for this. Secondly, it reminds them, as was just pointed out, everybody in the room also heard it. They'll think, oh yeah, I want to do that too. I want to make sure my stories tie in. And the best part is, if you want more speaking opportunities, when the meeting planner is in the room and they hear all this feedback on the spot, they're like, we got to have you back. Notice what I did when Vina was in the room, and Vina and I are friends. And I said, we need to do storytelling, Vina. And then I just went right on. I planted a seed. Do that. Because if you're good, they'll want you back. If not, they weren't going to ask you back anyway. So, the last words you should say should not be thank you. Not saying don't be kind, don't be appreciative. But your last words will resonate if they're memorable. Hopefully with what I close out with, they'll be memorable for you. Before you hear my final words, on the bottom of your note sheet, there is a QR code. If you are kind enough to do this, that is a quick survey. And if you will go through this entire survey, which takes 60 seconds, you will have access to a downloadable PDF copy of my first book called The Book on Storytelling. By the way, if you ever write a book on your topic, I picked this up years ago when I wrote the book. Put the word "the book" in front of your topic. It makes you sound like the authority. One of my mentors is a Hollywood scriptwriting consultant, and he is a brilliant storyteller. I learned a lot from him, but when he saw the name of my book, I can't tell you what he said. He's like, really? That was your topic and nobody knew who you were? I said, well, somebody said have the guts to put the book for assisted living units. Mark, there you go. There's your first book title. You know, so, but yeah, put the book in front. It makes you sound like, oh my gosh, this must be the book. But you can get a complimentary copy of that book on PDF if you'll go through that. I hope this was a great way to start your Friday. This is not your typical real estate presentation, we realize. And Vina pointed that out in the introduction. But hopefully you've picked up some ideas so that the next time you've got a presentation to give, whether it's one-on-one or you're called on the spot, hey, can you come to the front of the room and share a few ideas? You now have an idea of how to structure that so that you can walk into any situation. And when you do, I promise you, if you will work this process, remember, it's an evolution. It's not a finished product ever. Give the best you got that day. learn from it, and make the next one even better. You do that, and I promise you, you will sell more with compelling presentations. Enjoy the day. And you now have 3 extra minutes to do with what you want. I will give you one other thing. No audience will ever get mad at you if you go 3 minutes short, but go 60 seconds over, and they will start to hate you. So go, you never go wrong if you go a couple minutes short. Like that. Now I'll be here for a few minutes. If you've got questions, I'm happy to stay at the front of the room. Thank you for being here. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you.
And thank you. Yes.